Welcome to episode 49 of Sound.Wave, the first podcast to reach planet Earth from Cybertron. I'm Nell, and I'm great at Transformers.
And I'm Greg, and I suck at Transformers.
And this week, we discuss ongoing issue 50. So, all right, we made it to 50.
We done did it.
Another 50. We're
drowning in 50s.
That's right.
It's an embarrassment of 50s.
Just a bumper crop of 50s.
50s coming in real good this year.
Just like the chaos crystals or whatever.
You know what they say, 50 high by the 4th of July.
That is an old saying.
And some farm wisdom for you comic book readers.
Good old farm wisdom.
Love that farm wisdom. Yeah, that's a heck of a title we got, right?
Yeah. All hail Optimus.
I was talking about Transformers. Like, they turn from cars into machines? What's the deal?
Bear with us, dear listeners. Greg has to be reminded every now and again. They do, Greg. They turn from vehicles into robots. Sometimes things like cassettes.
I know we've discussed this before, but they don't actually transform that often, these comics.
They really don't, but that's okay.
Right. All Hail Optimus, that harkens back to something I have only kind of read.
That's right. Clearly a take on All Hail Megatron.
Right. The only Transformer comic that I read before we started this show was, right, I think, two or three issues of All Hail Megatron way, 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 way back.
Right. A million years ago. You were kind of introduced to it by our friend, and yeah, you read a couple issues of that, and yeah, it has come up on the show before, just because of imagery and things used in All Hail Megatron. That came out in 2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
So this is 8 years later.
It is, though, in this comic, I think they make a statement of how many years it's been, which the dates don't always line up when
in
they
terms
like,
of
mention
continuity,
how long
there's
things
a bit
have
of fun being had.
Yeah. So anyway, so yes, right, it's All Hail Optimus. We have the front here with Optimus holding the Autobot flag, reminiscent of, you know, imagery we saw back in All Hail Megatron. He's got his Autobots with him.
Good
Sideswipe, you're
Autobots.
Looking good.
Yeah. We got him, we got RC, we got the Combiner.
Do you remember their names?
I don't want to say if it's wrong. It's Victorion?
You got Victorion, yeah.
Okay, good. And then the one back there, I don't know, is that, that's a Combiner as well?
Yes.
Is that Superion?
Yeah, good work.
Okay, good. I couldn't recognize the design that well.
Yes, that's Superion, the Flyers. So yeah, we got our bots on the front. And then even on our, like, previously page here, we have where we left off last time, which was Galvatron had, like, brought in... The Decepticons that were coming in from Cybertron had taken over the Ark because they were coming through the space bridge, and they were crashing the Ark in China to meet up with Galvatron. Mm-hmm. And that's where Optimus suddenly stepped in and was like, listen, the Earth is under my care now. And this is kind of what he's saying in this previously page, which is beautifully done. It was done by my friend Sarah. Optimus is saying the Earth is under his protection. And he's bringing it into the Council of Worlds, is what he's saying. And that was where we left off.
That's a cool bomb drop.
Yes. Which, and we discussed that last time.
Yeah.
It was a very, it was an exciting thing to read. Like,
keep up, listeners.
God, you guys.
So we got the roll call here. We got Optimus, Windblade, Aileron, Jazz, Arcee, Sideswipe, Elftrion, Cosmos, Galvatron, Soundwave, Thundercracker, Buster, Marissa, Jones, Blackrock, and Spike.
Look at you go.
Look at me go. I'm so good at reading.
He's on fire. So that's our roll call. And then we hop into what we'll find out.
Yes. So this is Optimus conveying a message, and he's like, hey, I'm here. I'm saying good words instead of scary words.
Yeah. Like,
I'm going to protect your planet, and I'm broadcasting in every language to every screen that can display a thing.
Yeah. And he does. He like straight up throws the Decepticons under the bus, which I mean,
yeah,
with the title harkening back to All Hail Megatron, that's what he's now referring to. It's a nice kind of, it rounds it all out. The fact that the last time that Cybertronians were so prevalent on Earth was when the Decepticons had won. They were like, cool, we're taking over. So Optimus is saying, like, the last time this happened, it was the Decepticons. And it's interesting because what he's saying here is he's letting everybody know that, like, he is not with the Decepticons. And furthermore, Earth's governments have been helping the Decepticons.
Right.
They have been screwing over their own people. And he's laying it all out there.
And he does the... I feel like every sci-fi show does this at one point where there's, like, aliens and everything. And they're like, well, what if we just make it so that Earth knows about the aliens? And, like, Rick and Morty's done it. Doctor Who has done it. And he says it's time for humankind to enter the cosmic community. So
right, here we that's are. A big part of it. Yeah, his speech here. That's kind of, yeah, where he's getting to. And just letting everybody know how everything stands. Anybody who's watching and listening.
And he delivers that classic line we all love.
Galvatron, stand down.
Yeah, that. No, it was, that one. I bring the people of Earth that which is the right of all sentient beings. I bring freedom.
That's right. That's
from Optimus Transformers,
Prime,
right?
Optimus Prime is big on calling out sentient beings and them like, having hey, freedom.
You sentient beings, big fan.
Yeah, he's really into it. And the message is being, we can see it's broken up between 8 different panels and it's a bunch of different screens. So
right.
It kind of shows us. All we don't see who's watching it, but yeah, it's there are some, like, it looks like a phone, and then some of them are holographic, and the last one is really kind of choppy and on, like, a little screen, it looks like. Though I do want to point out, these are some extreme close-ups of Optimus Prime here. Like, he stuck his phone right in his face.
That camera's right up there.
Yeah, he's, like, periscoping it, and he, like, put the phone really close. Real extreme close-up. So yeah, there we go. All hail Optimus. This is part one, Once Upon a Time on Earth.
And Galvatron's like, nice. Let's kill all those guys.
Yeah, Galvatron's like, oh my god, this is great. Okay, fight time.
And we can see that it says Shanghai yesterday, so this must be before the speech. And we will find out at the end of the issue, yes, this is before the speech.
Yes. And it is a really beautiful 2-page spread, that there are some funny things going on here. And I guess there's only one funny thing that at least looks funny to me, but yeah, we can see, because of course we have the Decepticons who have just landed using the Ark, and then we have the Autobots who have just arrived from Cybertron.
Coming out of
the... Stop them. And yeah, so they're about to kind of face off, obviously. Galvatron's saying here, what is Chromia doing?
That's like, weird. She's like, she looks like she's the figurehead on a ship.
Yeah, she's like looking like she's leaping forward, but Optimus did not tell anybody to like rush anyone. So it's funny to me that she's kind of like, it almost looks like she's taking off in flight. Anyway, she was the other one. Thing, I was like, what are you doing, girl?
The other thing I notice is, this leash on Bob is pretty cute.
Oh my goodness. Bob. It's true, yes. And he's holding like a yellow cord, and the other, of course, is attached to Bob. Bob is his sweet baby.
Galvatron is like, all right, let's kill all those guys. And we get, you know, your classic half-page fight scene here. And everybody's throwing things at each other. There's Wheeljack getting knocked over.
I know. Brawl, like, it looks like in this panel, Brawl has, like, done the, like, whole, like, palmed Wheeljack's face and just pushed him out of the way to get to Optimus, because then Brawl is saying he's been waiting forever for this.
Right, like, he's going to attack Optimus.
Yes, he's very excited to fight Optimus, which, I mean, I get. Brawl is a big dude who loves fighting, and what is going to be more exciting to you as a Decepticon than fighting Optimus Prime?
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah. So, yeah, Wheeljack's completely thrown out of the way to get to Optimus Prime. And then, of course, we have our Kamians. Aileron and Sterling here. Yeah.
And Aileron's like, kind of man, this is rad. And Sterling's like, this is terrifying. And she's like, no, this is what primes do. And I mean, it is, because like in all the legends, primes basically use violence.
Right. There's a lot of violence when it comes to looking at the history of primes.
She says that it's putting their lives on the line for saving alien race.
Right, so she's kind of in awe, and neither one of them are partaking in this fighting, of course, just because this isn't really their scene. And then as everybody else is fighting, Galvatron, of course, still has Blackrock. And
he's holding him like a kitten.
Right, he's got him by the scruff of his, like, fancy jacket.
And again, just remember, everybody, that mind bomb is a thing. That's
right.
That's what we're trying to say here. And Galvatron points out that, like, hey, that's going to take you out, too, because guess what? We remembered, it's revealed, yeah. You're a Cybertronian, buddy.
Sure, yeah. So we're, okay, that's where we're at with
right.
Garrison.
Make sure that that's in your notes, everybody.
Yes. But then Galvatron's saying to him, he's like, okay, we know what's going to happen. This mind bomb exists, but you helped build it. So Galvatron's right. Kind of getting it. Yeah, but you can help us tinker with it.
Help a brother out, right?
Yeah.
And we cut to Bikini Atoll here, and there's Thundercracker, and he's like, let me at him. And Jones is like, no, you're not going out there.
Marissa's like, stopping him.
Right. Marissa's saying, like, you know, you're not going out there. And he's like, come on, this is what I'm here for. And, this is so sweet.
Right, because I do love this whole thing, because even he's like, look, maybe I'm not a great writer, maybe the whole screenplay thing isn't gonna work, maybe, yeah, I have to go out there and fight, that's what I'm here to do, is like, help everybody. And Marissa won't let him, because she doesn't want him to die. She straight up tells him, you can't go, because she doesn't want him to die, and she likes hearing his stories, and it's very precious.
And Thundercracker even says, aw.
It's true. He's like got a little smile and like a hand up to his chest. And you know, what can I say, TC? You're very charming.
And she manages to undermine her earnest moment by saying, yeah, you'd definitely die out there.
Right. If his flying is anything like his writing, he wouldn't last 2 minutes anyway. To which Doc starts laughing. He's like, that's funny. And then, of course, don't worry, somebody's here to ruin any sweet moment we might have between these two, who we like a lot. We like TC and Marissa.
Yeah.
But then Spike is here.
And he's like, all right, this is my moment. I love killing Transformers.
Right. And the girls are like, dude, don't forget, you were a prisoner, so...
Yeah, you're in jail right now.
Yeah. You're not going to do anything.
We have Dr. Barwani ready to set up the mind bomb, as they keep calling it. And I love that good old Skylynx is here. And he's like, oh, I can tell you anything you need. He's good. So thank you. Thank you, Space Dragon.
I do love the names that they come up with for Skylynx. It is so cute because, yeah, Skylynx saying, you know, he can tell everybody about whatever if it's helpful. He's here to be helpful. Skylynx, you precious thing. But yes, Barwani's like, well, we're good. So they're kind of just setting up the fact that, like, they as the EDC can't get into China right now, because Marissa's like, why aren't we sending people in? And, you know, because they had, like, there was the whole thing with the Onyx presentation in China, and there was
right.
a whole mess with the EDC. And
China has been unduly affected by these events.
Yes.
And Marissa had a phone call with Xi Jinping. And there's a joke where he's like, what did you say to their president? And Cup is like, yeah, are you going to tell us what's going on here? She goes, I called him an asshole. And he's like, I wasn't talking about that.
And of course, yeah, the bots want to know. And Marissa then does let them know that they're waiting. Right. They're going to do the mind bomb.
And that it's gonna she apologizes. Suck.
Yeah, like, just a heads up. This is going to blow. But we got to do it. And then we cut to Sanctuary Station, which is Soundwave's.
Right.
Halfway home.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And we see he's talking to Galvatron, and he's like, I can't believe Galvatron betrayed me.
And it's... Soundwave, you're so damn sweet, because he's like... Of course, obviously, he's very upset. Soundwave is a darling, and he tells Galvatron, like, I'm not going to help you anymore. You saved me. And Galvatron's like, that's what we do, Decepticon. And Soundwave's like, no, we reveal others' deceptions. So
being deceived. That's where it comes from, dude.
God, Galvatron, pay attention. But, I mean, listen, Galvatron, awful, terrible space racist. Soundwave, baby, come on. You should have known better than to be like, oh,
we did know he's a space racist.
Right? Like, Soundwave, you... We'll try it again next time. We'll do better next time. But yeah, of course, Galvatron's just kind of like, it was an honest mistake. Whatever. But then, oh my gosh, and of course, he's a space racist, so he says, best of luck with your animals and Autobots. Because of course, he's like, yeah, have fun doing nothing.
With your losers.
Yeah, screw all of you. And of course, then Soundwave's just very upset. Which I do like this bot in the corner. He reminds me of Whirl. Like,
I love the, you know, I love them bots with the Impurata.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we know who that is?
I didn't, and so I went to TF Wiki to look and see if there was a name for him, but I think he is just generic. Okay, they're, interesting. Yeah, because they had a note on him, and the fact that he looked like he had, like, the Impurata and whatever, but...
well,
but
no, I hope I to see more of him in the future.
He'll be like our little trash can.
Oh, I miss little trash can. I do, Slugopede.
But hopefully they're safe on Cybertron.
And we get the equivalent of the angry hang up, slamming the phone, with Soundwave, like,
he, like,
slamming his hand through the hologram.
Yeah, he's, like, backhanding the hologram of Galvatron. Very upset.
And he's like, guess what, everybody? Road trip. We're gonna go fuck that guy.
Yeah. Soundwave, you're such a doll hero, because he's like, listen, our Decepticon brothers are also being deceived by Galvatron. Galvatron sucks, and we gotta go round up everybody else to save them from him. Which, you know, again, we chose very well. Soundwave, you're great. I like you.
We love that boy here on this show.
We really do. So, I do, yes, what a great, great hero. He's gonna go rescue his brothers and sisters from Galvatron's thrall. And we do hop back over to where Galvatron is, beating up Autobots, or at least trying to. We have the combiners, of course, being huge and taking people out.
Doing their combiner thing.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know, but they're air. And then, of course, we have Garrison and Galvatron.
And Galvatron is, like, conscripted Garrison into this. And Garrison, yes, is like, I don't want any part of this. And Galvatron's like, well, it looks like Soundwave figured out what we're doing. And Galvatron's like, what do you mean what we're doing? We're not doing anything. And Galvatron's like, hey, I could just, like, crush you right now, and that would be rad.
Yeah, like, Galvatron could kill him. And he points out, he's like, listen, Blackrock, if I die, you're gonna die, for sure.
Right.
And then we have Skywarp warping in, and he brought Mindwipe with him, who is a cassette, obviously similar to Ratbat.
Sure.
But we learn here, obviously, he gives a little spiel about he's an outlier, he's a telepath, and that's why they brought him here, was to kind of look at Blackrock's code for the mind bomb and be able, right, to, like, memorize it, or like, he can read it because he's got Blackrock right in front of him, and he's a telepath.
Yes, and there he can go, sort of alter the code to make the mind bomb not affect them.
Yeah, he's like,
which
he's,
is exactly he's... what happens. Barwani sets off the mind bomb, and it looks like most
some people go down.
Yeah.
Most of the Decepticons do not. But then, right, there's also, I just want to point out really quickly, CJ, where the hell have you been? Clipjumper's here, and I'm very excited about it. We haven't seen that dude in forever, but he didn't get affected. He's still standing there. He's a little red one.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I'm just very excited. Clipjumper, yay. Because I was looking, I was like, is that him? It totally is. We see him on in a few panels. But yes, all that said, most of them go down. Brawl's
right
down, and yeah,
and of course it didn't affect Optimus and his crew, because Wheeljack is like, hey, this is, like, the stuff I do.
So good. I do love that, because yeah, Optimus says, we still stand. Well played, Wheeljack. And yeah, he basically says, Wheeljack, you're clearly the most valuable Autobot and possibly Cybertronian. Well done.
And Wheeljack is like, aw shucks, weren't nothing.
Tweren't nothing, Optimus. It is so funny, though, because he's like, no, no, it was no problem. I knew what to do, kind of. I hoped, anyway.
I mean, I thought it. I was like, this could work.
Way to go. You're just that good. So, thank goodness we got in some good Wheeljack here. So then, of course... Oh, yeah, right, this is where we point out that is Clipjumper, because Galvatron then blasts him in the chest in this next panel.
He got choomed.
Yeah, he's like, well, they didn't go down, but we tried.
I will say, it's one of my favorite things in all visual media, when somebody shoots somebody off to the side without looking at them.
Right, like, if especially when it's someone like Galvatron. Like,
right.
Just this, like... arrogant but amusing asshole.
Right. I mean, not only have Galvatron's been presented as, like, this powerful barbarian warlord, but he's just kind of like casually blown a dude away here.
Right. And obviously we've talked about it before on the show, how both of us are like, in a way, charmed, I guess is what you would say, by Galvatron. Like,
right.
We fucking hate him. He's terrible. But at the same time, he's
funny.
Right. Like, he's funny. Damn it. Damn it, Galvatron. So yeah, here he is just shooting Cliffjumper. Why not? And it all, then of course you're like, oh, right. Blackrock's being held in his hand that has,
he looks like a Ken doll.
He really does. But yeah, so of course Galvatron is then attacked by Optimus.
He gets kicked in his old man back by Optimus.
He's gonna feel that in the morning. But yes, since the Autobots weren't taken out, they can respond to the fewer Decepticons who are still standing.
Right. And Galvatron is like, "What? Why are we here? Skywarp, get us out of here!"
Right. Like, what? Who's still hanging around? This party's lame.
And then, of course, that's when the Earthlings who have Cybertronian tech are like, let's start blowing up these Transformers.
Yes, we see China's military has...
the People's Liberation Army Mecha Force.
Yes, which sounds like something you would see in, like, an anime.
Right, exactly.
And, of course, they have to say the entire name. But so
I would like to point out the acronym is PLAMF.
Oh, there you go. So Planff is flying in. They're swooping in, and they're starting to fire at the Autobots. And Optimus is trying to be like, no, we're good. We're good. I'm with you guys. But of course, Ironhide's like, I don't think they're going to listen.
Right. And they kill a Decepticon here.
They start, just like taking people out. And of course, Aileron is like, whoa, wait a minute. Humans just killed that dude. And
they
Sterling,
should not be able to do that.
Yeah. Sterling isn't quite on the same page with her right now, because obviously she's saying this and she's like, yeah, they shouldn't be able to do that, and that's a horrific thing to do.
Right.
Like, that Decepticon was just killed in front of her eyes.
He's not gonna have a lot of time to reflect on that, though.
Oh, it's so sad, because then we see a satellite
like charging up.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden
it lasers through his chest.
Sterling is,
he's dead along with like a bunch of other dudes.
Right. A bunch of them just suddenly get shot and from the satellite. So it wasn't the ships taking them out, but.
Right. And Aileron freaks out. She's like, damn it, my best friend just got killed. I'm going to start fighting. She aims at the ship and Optimus is like, hey, satellite killed your friend. Go break those.
Yeah.
And she does. She flies off in spaceship mode.
Yeah. So she flies up there as, oh my goodness, I'm trying to remember the names of all the ships. The Peace Without Tyranny is Soundwave's ship. That is now, they're coming into the Earth's orbit as she's taking out satellites above Earth's orbit. And then she, of course, radios back to Optimus and is like, P.S., we got some incoming Decepticons, just so you know. And it's so cute because, oh my goodness, who is this here? Give me just a second. Slugslinger is he's on board the Peace Without Tyranny, and he's asking Cosmos, like, who is that? Do you know that person? And Cosmos is like, I don't know that person, but I'm excited that they turn into a spaceship. And of course you're like, oh, Cosmos, you're so cute.
I do like the running theme throughout this issue of, who is that?
Nobody knows each other in ongoing at this point. There's just so many people, there's so many new faces. But yeah, so no, obviously Cosmos does not know her. And but he's taking the ship down. He's landing on Earth, and Soundwave puts out a call to the Decepticons who weren't taken by Galvatron.
Right. He's saying, join me in our refuge. Galvatron sucks. That guy blows.
We hate him. Come back home. Come back home. We'll talk about things.
Come see Pep Pep. And there's guys getting on the ship and they see Cosmos and like, what the fuck?
It is. Well, and it's so funny because Needlenose is like, what? That is an Autobot. And Swift, who is a Kamian, she was the one who was with Aileron and Sterling. And she's straight up like, I don't give a shit. We are being killed out here. He's like, well, I'm just saying. I'm just... But, oh, Cosmos, you're so sweet. And he's like ushering people aboard. And then he turns to Soundwave and says that the Autobots, they have to get the Autobots out of here too. And Soundwave isn't down with that one. Because he says, everybody can come aboard unless they follow a Prime.
Right. That's not good.
He's very firm on this stance.
And Cosmos is disappointed but understanding.
Right. He figured it would probably come down to this. And it is sweet because he says, good luck, Soundwave, I mean it. But I have to go be with the Autobots. So I like that. I'm okay with that because there's still an understanding. You know, that it wasn't anything like, they weren't jilted parting ways, Soundwave and Cosmos. It was, like you said, yeah, disappointing, but...
Right. There's an understanding.
Yes.
And so Optimus is saying we need a withdrawal of the space bridge. Cosmos is filling him in on what happened to the rest of the Ark.
Right.
He's like, well, everybody's alive, but like they're kind of captured.
Right. The last he knew, RC and Alphatron and Sideswipe were on the Ark. And then Jazz and, you know, Jetfire and everybody we've seen are with them captured by the humans. And so Optimus, which of course the Ark is there. The Ark has been crashed.
Right.
So, and so Optimus, I do love this. He just says, that will be the next thing we deal with.
Gotta prioritize.
Yeah, one thing at a time, you guys. At least he knows. Yes, Cosmos could give him some good intel. And so they're retreating. And,
right. And Victorian says, carry any wounded you can. Cosmos is like, even wounded Decepticons? And Victorian's like, yes, dick.
Like, God, come on. Which, of course, we can imagine Cosmos is just like, just making sure, because last time I said, can Autobots come? I was told no.
And we do see in this panel the Plamph transform into a pretty cool-looking mech.
They do look very cool. And, of course, you like it because they're reminiscent of Worrell.
Right.
Again, now they're we have Worrell's bottom half being represented here. But, yeah, like, they go from jets into mechs. And I do love it because even in this next panel, Aileron goes, I leave for 5 minutes and the humans turn into Transformers. I'm like, Aileron, you're all right. I like you. I like this character.
And Optimus is like, you did good. And she's like, I'm dying. And he's like, yeah, we get a lot of that.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. Welcome to Rolling with Us.
You're one of us now.
I do love, in the previous panel, Victorian is disgusted with the fact that these ships can transform. She's like, what the hell did all of you do? All the Kamians are like, hold on, you guys. Why can the humans transform? And
what is this?
Yeah, you are just giving away our diaries to people? Like, what? Why do they have Cybertronian technology? But so yes, as Optimus is welcoming Aileron back, Wheeljack's like, hey, guess what? We have a problem. The space bridge is losing power.
Right. And Optimus is just saying, get everybody through.
And then something very exciting happens. And if we will all take a moment and notice that Sunstreaker says, wait, my brother is inside the Ark. And I'm so excited, you guys, because prior to this, these two have not been confirmed as brothers. It's kind of been that they just are
suggested,
really close teammates.
But never, right.
They're literally the Lamborghini twins. Everybody knows this. This is just how it's always been. And so the fact that like IDW never went along with that was always very, very weird to me. So my notes here are all caps. It says Sunstreaker called Sideswipe his brother. There are hearts written all around it. I'm so excited. I love the Lamborghini twins so much. So I'm very, very excited. We did it, you guys. They're brothers, finally. So anyway, yeah. Sunstreaker, then understandably, is very concerned because his brother is in the Ark and he has to go save him.
And Aileron is like, wait, everybody hang out here for a second. I got this.
I got an idea.
And Chromia is like, what? Who are you? Two, get away from that. It's dangerous.
Yeah, don't you do it. Don't you go. And sure enough, Aileron walks through the space bridge and there's just a fight, another fight happening on the other side.
More people shooting each other.
No, she turns and sees that, Devastator's here. Because, yes, of course, she's gone through the space bridge. And the last we'll remember, Devastator is under control of Starscream.
Yeah.
So the head is no longer Prowl. It is now Scoop. And I do love this because, yeah, Aileron sees Devastator's like, oh shit, this is probably pretty bad, like Chromia said. And Windblade is trying to, like, get everybody to calm down because this is where we kind of left Cybertron, was all the Decepticons were headed for the space bridge. And Windblade, people were kind of like, hey, we gotta put a stop to this, like something's about to happen. So we can see kind of this is the aftermath of what's happening on the other side of it. And
right, and I really love this because even Starscream has lost control of Devastator, and he's like,
it's so good,
stop.
Right, because Devastator's like, the Chosen One sent for me, so I'm gonna stop the violence. Starscream's like full on like grabbing his helmet like, wait, no, you're not okay. You're not doing this right. This isn't what I had in mind.
And of course Aileron blasts by and he's like, who is that?
And Windblade's like, she's a Kamian. Optimus was hanging out with her. I don't know who she is.
It's the Optimus fangirl.
I did see her excitedly showing Optimus her stickers of him, so I think she's a friend? I don't know.
She got him to sign her copy of J14. and so we cut back, and apparently there's some sort of jamming going on with the plamps.
The plamp, yeah. I'm glad you keep remembering. I'm like, I don't remember what we already set up they would be called. So, yes. And then, of course, it's because Victorion has her kind of like a, not like a tractor beam, but she can kind of, like a force field almost, but she can stop other bots. I don't know how to explain it.
It's like a tractor beam gravity control thing, she says.
Yeah. That's exactly what she calls it. But but yes, she is saying she can't hold them without accidentally killing one of them. So can we hurry it up with the space bridge, essentially?
And Cosmos is like, hey, check it out. I found these guys.
Yes. They're kind of digging through the Ark wreckage. He's like, hey, look, we know these guys, and yay, it's RC and Tryon and Sideswipe.
Sunstreaker's brother.
Yes, thank goodness, finally. And we, of course, have Sunny being properly horrified. Well, and that's the funny thing here, is the last we saw Sideswipe, he was actually in way worse condition than this. Like, he had been, like, shot through the head, kind of. Like, he had been, like, really laid out by the Decepticons. So he actually looks pretty good in comparison to the last time we saw him. Wheeljack doesn't know Victorion's name. He calls her that tall lady. He suggests that she, because of course he's like, we don't have a lot of time. So he suggests that she carries the bridge and they just leave. But then, before they can do that, we can see the Skyroller, Optimus Prime's ship, comes blasting through the space bridge. Piloted by, after all, Aileron.
We like her. This is what she saved for everybody, and everybody's getting on. We see Sunstreaker saying, come on, bro.
I'm so excited. My note just says, at last, and there's a heart. I'm so glad.
And I love
that Optimus, kind of fussing.
Optimus is like, Victorion, you're gonna kind of have to, I mean...
Yeah, you can all fit, but not in the form you're in right now. So, of course, she's breaking apart. And they all hop on. They hop on the Skyroller, and they grab the space bridge, of course, and are taking it with them.
We need that thing.
It's an important device. And then we see Optimus
giving out, like, a code phrase.
Yeah. And he activates Teletran, which is... Longtime fans of Transformers, we've heard the name Teletran forever. It's their computer system. And so Teletran on the Ark activates, and he gives a code that is code Zeta Nova Nemesis Kaon Prowl, which is a full command override, and he essentially sets the ship to self-destruct.
It's a bold move.
Yeah. And the last thing he does before that is he broadcasts to the humans down on the ground, to the Plamph, and is like, listen, I'm sorry, but you guys should probably get away from that ship.
Right. That thing is a bomb.
And then they take off.
Yep. He says, roll out. And Optimus is saying, like, well, I don't know if we're safe or not, because I don't know what humans have anymore. And Aileron's like, well, this is your ship. Do you want to fly it? And he's like, no.
You are good. Thank you. And now, yeah, we can see, and now after the heat of the fight and after, you know, all the chaos that they've just now fled, he's kind of reflecting back, and he's immediately, you know, he says right here, "What have I done?" And Aileron is, she's just like, you did what you had to do. Like, you didn't have much of a choice. You made decisions that you had to make.
And he's like, yeah, I'm not happy with this. Just take me to this particular latitude and longitude. And she's like, why? And like, well, there's a bunch of people we need to go save there.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta go pick up some more people. The movie's friend's done drunk. And I gotta, yeah, they can't drive. We gotta go get them. And yeah, Optimus here is saying he's concerned. He's just started another war.
Right.
With like him as the target.
And we go to the EDC and we see Spike being like, all right, this is it. We have to kill all of them forever. And finally, Fairborn's just like, shut up. Just shut up. Nobody likes you. You're terrible.
It's very enlightening. And this is where you go, yep, I like Barwani. I like Fairborn. I like Jones. Do not care for Witwicky. Because even like, yeah, she just lays it out. Fairborn's like, she's saying, as far as she has seen, what just happened was that...
Right, Optimus saved the planet.
Yeah, he stopped whatever Galvatron was doing. And she tries to say, like, she's trying to kind of make sense of this to Spike by saying, you worked with Optimus Prime. And of course his response is like, yeah, so I know what he's capable of. And she's like, listen, douche, we have other Autobots here. He's coming here to pick them up. I promise you, that's all he's doing. Which she's right. Like, that's all he's after right now.
And he lands and Skylanx is like, oh, I can tell you all about that ship, but I'm not gonna. And Optimus is like, hey, where's them boys?
Yep, here to pick up my friends. Heard some boys were a little tipsy.
They're all smashed up. He's like, what happened?
He does ask, what did you do to them? And immediately Marissa's like, we didn't do it. I promise.
It wasn't us. It was this guy. Except he's like, he's like weird.
I do love, yeah. She like is kind of trying to explain Garrison a little bit. And I love that Optimus turns and he's like, Thundercracker, explain this.
Thundercracker, you're a grown up. Tell us what's going on here.
You're the only adult here. But of course, TC's full on like, yeah, no, like Marissa didn't do this. He says it was a Cybertronian that hurt your guys. And
right, of course, Jazz backs humans. Him
up. Yes.
And Optimus is even like, what are you playing at, Decepticon? Like, fuck you.
I know. Like, first of all, fuck you, Optimus. And I have a note on this panel here in particular. This one strikes me a bit. Because, yeah, Optimus is like kind of all up in TC's face. And even TC's like, what? And Optimus is asking, whose side are you on? And here's a little interesting thing. Well, something I found interesting. I usually imagine the Seekers is like small. Like, not like mini-bot right. small. But I'm super into TC being taller than Prime. At least in this panel. I'm like, yeah, I like this. Even though usually I'm like, no, they're much smaller than
right.
most bots, especially big bots like Optimus and you know. Right.
He's very mama bird in this panel. And Thundercracker's just like, man, I don't want to do any of this. Just shake my hand and let's just like let's put this aside. And Optimus is like, nope, I'm gonna be petty.
Well, and yeah, it's so cute because TC starts explaining what a handshake is when Optimus doesn't shake it right away. And Optimus is like, I know what a handshake is.
Like, I know what it is. Shut up.
Which is so funny to me that, like, this just says to me, you are reading Optimus the same way I read Spike, which I'm like, don't do that to him. He has not done nearly enough.
Just in this moment, Optimus is being, like, really snotty.
He's being a little snotty. Although, yeah, he's being a little snotty. Meanwhile, the pets.
Right, Buster is and like, Bob.
Yeah, she's growling at Bob. And Bob is just like, wait, what? And then he, like, unleashes on her. Because, of course, he's a little Insecticon. And so, of course, she's afraid. As she should be. She's just a little tiny dog. And so then, of course, he's like, all right. Okay, let's
let's all take a step back here.
Yeah. And TC's saying here that he's done working with humans and they're zombie transformers. Because, of course, he's now right. felt very screwed over and betrayed by the humans. And then, you know, Jazz adds and zombie combiners. And because he's seen things that Marissa hasn't seen, but of course they've seen the ships combined together. And so anyway, so yeah, TC's kind of like, I'm gonna come with you guys, I guess. That's what's going on here. And it's weird because Optimus, like, we see them all getting on board the Skyroller, and he's kind of like leaving Marissa with a parting idea or like thought, which was like, look, like the fact that she didn't know what Jazz meant by zombie combiners. He was like, it looks like there's a lot of stuff going on here on Earth that you guys who are supposed to be protecting Earth don't know about. So right. He tells her she should get her house in order. And if she doesn't do it, he dads her here, which of course he's very used to doing. He's Optimus Prime. So he's just like, Marissa, get your team together, get your shit, put it all in a backpack, just get your shit together, and if you don't, I will. And P.S., welcome to the Autobots, Thundercracker, which is so weird.
Peace out.
Bye.
Man, knock it off with the Autobot stuff. That's not even a thing anymore. Come on, Optimus.
Come on, you guys.
And we get the worst line of the issue here, where Optimus is flying away, and Marissa and Jones are like, ugh, this sucks. What do we do? And she says, what if Spike was right? And like, man, I don't even, don't do that.
Marissa, I promise you, he's not right.
He's actually very wrong.
Yes, he's very much incorrect. You guys have this. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing you.
And we get a 2-page spread.
Yeah. It's really interesting. It's a really cool spread too, which first of all, like, it's a bunch of panels kind of jumbled together. But this very first one, oh my god, I love this panel.
It's one of those giant Decepticon symbol ships like crashed into the White House.
One of the world sweepers, huge Decepticon ships. And it just, the White House is ablaze and there's just clouds of smoke all around it. It's very striking. It's a great panel.
There's like a poem going along with it here. And
which is one we've heard before. This is the same one from Dark Cybertron.
Yes, I thought that might be the case. And I like, it gets down to the part where it says, and the stars shall scream. And I'm like, is this that same one?
Yes.
Because I remember Scoop bringing that up to Starscream.
Yes.
So
Scoop has recited this back during Dark Cybertron, and all these panels are going through this prophecy is, what it is.
Right. We get a lot of very ominous things. We see the Crash World Sweeper, we see RC and Galvatron seemingly back-to-back fighting.
Yes.
We have Victorion, like, standing over Superion, and Superion looks pretty knocked out.
Yeah, as though she's just beaten him, yes.
Optimus with Galvatron's head on a pike, holding a globe.
With fire around him. And like, huge, giant,
Nazi banners, but there are Autobot symbols.
Yes. We have a Titan, it looks like, coming up out of...
Right, out bursting out of the ground in, like, the Arizona Mesa.
Right. Definitely not on Cybertron.
Right.
And in the stars screaming, it's a satellite crashing, or...
I thought it was the Sanctuary.
Oh, shit. I think you're right. Yeah.
And it's like crashing into the sun. And here's Windblade and Chromia looking sad, which I don't want.
They're bowing.
Yeah, they're kneeling.
They're kneeling in front of... It looks like they're kneeling in front of him. Which, of course, we know neither of those girls buy into this whole Prime thing.
Right.
And then there's Aileron, who's, adorned with the Mistress of Flame.
Yeah.
Spikes, almost. Like, at least it's reminiscent of that. And,
And then Aileron wakes up Optimus, and we were like, this was a dream, but those are always prophetic visions in this book.
Yes. Like, the fact that it's a prophecy that he's hearing in his head, and then he's seeing all these visions, is not great, at least it promises for some interesting things to come up. And, yes, Aileron wakes him up because he was yelling while he was recharging. And so, of course, she's like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, it was nothing.
Yep, super good.
Totally fine.
And so we see they're at this site that Thundercracker was staying at.
Yeah, they're at TC's house.
There's Cosmos carrying, iron beams, which is very funny to me for some reason.
The torchbearers are all kind of, helping out. It looks like they're kind of building onto... Well, because... Yeah, TC's house has been crashed into by multiple bots and what have you. So it looks like, yeah, we have the torchbearers and Cosmos helping out. TC's letting everybody know his Wi-Fi password. He's like, if you guys want to watch Netflix, I got HBO Go. Just, you know, come to me if you need anything.
The data cap resets on the 15th, so don't go too buck wild.
Yeah, keep it under control, you guys.
Alpha Trion's here, and one of the fire keepers, flame keepers,
torch bearers.
Those. I got it eventually.
You got it.
They're like, well, don't they already know where this place is? And Alpha Trion's like, it wouldn't matter. They're going to find us no matter what. And Prime is like, well, we just need to like stay here for like a little bit until we get back on our feet.
Yeah.
We got some interviews lined up. It's going to work out.
We're going to get our own place, hopefully someplace close to the city. And Alpha brings up a good point, and he's like, okay, then what? Like, do we have a long-term plan here?
We just declared war.
Yeah, on a sovereign world is what he says. And Aileron yells at both Alpha Trion and Pyromagna. She's like, listen, the humans are all against Prime now. He doesn't need you. Also getting on his butt and like chomping at him. It's because, of course, yes, she's looking out for her boy here. And Optimus is like, listen, thank you, Pyromagna. Thank you, Alpha Trion. But yeah, he's like, I'm gonna need both of you. I need you guys to trust me because I do have a plan here. And he's gonna go see RC first, and we can see who. Because of course we have some bots who are hurt, so Optimus is going over to find her, and she's kind of hanging out.
And I love this because he's like, "Wow, RC, you look great," and she's like, "I'm in so much pain," and he's like, "Good, great, I have a job for you to do."
And she, of course, she's a trooper. She's like, "Yep, lay it on me." Thanks for
you
listening,
do a
Prime.
Lot of this, Optimus.
Yeah,
Prime. You ask a lot of your friends, and he does the exact same thing with Wheeljack here.
Right? Oh my God, this is so precious. Optimus is like looking at Wheeljack. He's like, "Okay, how's the space bridge looking?"
He's like, "Space bridge, that's fixed, right? You got it."
Yeah, because of course we regularly see Wheeljack perform great feats of technology. Like it's. Like, that's just a thing. That's not even me being super biased. He's like, oh yeah, it would take 2 days. I'll get it to you in 30 minutes. Just give me a second. But even here, we have him saying he's too tired to even make up something to make him sound better than he is. But he's hoping by tomorrow morning. So he's getting signals, but they can't send anything like medical supplies, which they need. And I do, oh, poor sweet darling, my heroic prince. He's like, he's going to have it running as fast as he can because he doesn't want anybody else dying on his watch. And like, you precious. That's my boy. I love him. Real question for a second. Is there anybody who doesn't see the appeal of Wheeljack? Like, by now. Like, even if you've never known him before, if you're not like me and, like, have been in love with him since Gen 1, you get it, right? Like, it's pretty obvious. He's fantastic.
Which one is Wheeljack?
I'm going to murder you.
and we see Jazz is like everybody basically overall picture, everyone's in a lot of pain. And Optimus is like, good, cool, keep on doing that, everybody. I'm gonna talk to Jetfire for a second.
Yeah, taking this guy. And he wants to know if the Skyroller can override local transmissions. And and of course Jetfire is like, is that what we should be worrying about right now? Like, you want to make a call, Prime? And Optimus is like, yes, I need to make a call right now to everyone on Earth. And then here we go.
Right. We remember this voiceover from the broadcast. Beginning of the issue.
Yes.
Except now it's all tinged with everybody being like, this dictator monster.
Well, and because, and I do like the way they treated this. Of course, at the beginning, we saw Optimus on 8 different screens or holograms being projected. And we couldn't see who was witnessing, but now in these 8 panels, we're seeing it from the people who are watching him on each different screen. So it's the same message, like, I'm Optimus Prime, Earth is under my protection, da-da-da-da-da.
We see Marissa being like, ah, shit, this sucks, this isn't gonna be good.
Well, and she
we see
the
RC
worst thing.
Being, right, ugh, ugh, I don't want it.
Right, it's so
Spike
gross.
Spike was right, and I hate it. But RC is like, ah, oh, fuck, this guy sucks. And
she's saying, this is how it starts, this is always how it starts, was I'm like... I'm saying, I'm kind of like, it's a dangerous thing we're getting into here.
I can't wait for All Hail RC.
Then we can finally do your precious Deviant RC cover.
And we have that leader of the Plamps saying, yes. You invaded my nation, you haven't experienced unfortunate yet. There's Spike getting taken to jail, which is cool.
At last.
Soundwave is saying, like, yep, this is what primes do.
Yep.
And Galvatron is like, ha ha, yes, excellent.
Good work, Optimus. I didn't know you had it in you, but here you go, doing what I want. Which is never, like, let's take a step back here for a moment. People we like are like, damn it, Optimus. And then there's the space races being like, ah, yes, good for you, Optimus. Which, that alone, Optimus, this is not a good idea. This maybe isn't the best.
Not to get overly political here, but it's like every time Trump gives a speech and all those white supremacists are like, yep, great job.
Yes. Yeah, those aren't, like, yeah, you gotta, like, gauge how the audience is reacting.
Play who's the room, Optimus.
Yeah. And then, of course...
We even get Starscream here, and Starscream is like, oh, boy.
Like, yep, sure, Optimus, he's real great.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I'm also trying to do what's best for everybody. And Windblade is sassing him. He's like, hey, you're the one who likes Optimus.
Which I do, even this, just like the little glimpses we see of Starscream and Windblade in this issue are kind of my favorite thing. Like, the fact that we don't actually spend ample amounts of time with them, just the little clips that we do see.
Right.
It frames them as, like, just like... Like, they're kind of, those friends were, like, elbowing at each other at this point. Like they're annoyed with each other, but they like each other. Even here, because her being like, Starscream, do not even start. He's like, hey, you're the one who likes Optimus Prime. It's, yes, they're very funny. I'm glad these two are together and hanging out. And then our last panel.
Oh thank shit. Goodness. So
he's back.
If you were worried that we wouldn't get Prowl in here, fret no more.
Here he is. Optimus Prime finishes his speech by saying he brings freedom. And Prowl says, unlike hell you do. And there you
thank
go.
God for, thank God Prowl is here to enforce morals.
He's, yeah.
Prowl, the king of not letting the end justify the means, is here to really show Optimus what the error of his ways.
I could just let you rant about Prowl, and it would be...
And I could do it.
Gold for the show, because it's very amusing. Yeah, your boy Prowl's back.
It's your boy. And we get
He's still missing an eye, by the way. Yeah,
good. I'm missing... we have the full page title it's drop, All Hail Optimus.
A nice text treatment, though I would have lined up the bottom of All and the top of Hail a little.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird touch.
Yeah, but I like it. That's just, yeah, it's not a big deal.
And then just like in MTMTE 50, we have that secondary story. We have a secondary story here as well.
Yes. So that's the end of part one. And then, yeah, we hop over to this next part.
And so as a longtime Marvel Comics fan, I really like this conversation. So Jones and Fairborn are talking about the Earth Defense Command, and Jones is saying, like, why are we reporting to the White House? Aren't we a global organization?
Yeah.
And this is a conversation people have about S.H.I.E.L.D. in Marvel all the time. Like, okay. This constantly is like, are they like, national, what's the, are they part of the U.S. military, what's the deal here?
I mean it's fair,
and Fairborn very clearly lays out it is an Earth Defense Force, all the member nations buy in, but the U.S. gets special privileges because they pay the most money,
right? Like, they're putting up the most, so
totally sensible. I mean, maybe not a good system, but like, it explains how this works way clearer than we ever get for how S.H.I.E.L.D. works.
Oh, well, good. Well, good. I'm the way to go, John, making sense of it.
Well done.
Yeah, because Marissa's stating, like, and now, yeah, like, she and Jones and Sanjay, like, they're all American. General Witwicky, who, of course, was Spike's father before he was killed, which I do love this, she says, before Prowl killed him, and then she stops and goes, oh, shit, maybe that wasn't even Prowl, which it wasn't. We know that.
Right.
But I do like there is a moment where she's like, oh, wait a minute. I've been lied to a whole bunch.
Like, I don't know what's a thing anymore. And we get this really cool visual of these two flyers standing outside the White House, as big as the White House.
Yes. So it is very, and they've even got like American flags on their chests in lieu of like faction symbols. But yeah, it's more Conehead clones. Right.
I will say, I understand it's been a busy week for these people. I don't think there's any situation where this ship lands on the White House front lawn.
I mean, you know, but then we wouldn't get a cool visual of the White House.
Right, I get it.
Giant mech standing in front of it.
Anyway.
And this one's called New World's Order. It's the name of this part two. We see it
and
here.
And we hop out to Jupiter Origin with a sanctuary.
Yes. And, like, I do love this because Needle Nose, we start out with Needle Nose being like, I mean, what can we say? We didn't know when we picked him. And we know he's talking about Galvatron here because then, oh my goodness, her name is escaping me.
She's the Kamian, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But she's saying, hold on, you guys didn't know it was a bad idea to follow an ancient warlord? You guys didn't know a space racist might not set you on the best path? Nobody knew. She says she watched a documentary about this when she moved to Cybertron. She doesn't understand how none of these people knew. Like, she even says, a bot who tried to use Cybertron to eat the entire universe twice might lead them astray, which I'm
love it
word.
So much. I mean, yes, good. Obviously. And I also love that Needle Nose's defense is like, well, I mean, everybody did dumb stuff during the war.
Yeah, like it was a long war, you know, whatever. And, and of course, now she's like reflecting on the fact that like she just helped these guys fight a prime, which is huge to
right.
a Kamian.
And
immediately the cassettes are like, boo. Like,
no,
that dude
not
sucks
a prime.
Anyway.
That guy
he's
sucks.
Faking it.
Loser.
And of course, yeah. And it's just, it's a really great kind of conversation here on this sanctuary. Because, yeah, immediately Rumble and Frenzy are like, he's just a guy. Like, they're explaining it to her. Like,
and, right, and she's like, what do you mean? And they're sort of explaining the
like,
the functionism ideas here.
Yeah, like, in, you know, like, because they're saying, like, he just says he's a prime. And, you know, back when, like, yeah, it was functionism. Then, like,
right, they're
those
saying
who
that
oppressing.
He was oppressing people who were mining equipment. And he says, like, I'll just read the lines here. Unfortunately, those of us who are born to be mining equipment don't get to do the oppressing. And then the other cassette says, the opposite, in fact. And he goes, yes, thank you for pointing that out.
Right. Thanks for making the subtext text. Oh, Rumble and Frenzy, I love you guys. And I do love Rumble's responses. What? Like, what? What did I just do? God, they're funny. And even then, we can still see them. Just if you do have this issue, and I figure most of you do, but I do know we have some listeners who aren't actively reading the comics. In the background, we are seeing Rumble and Frenzy. Like, at one point, they're, like, elbowing another guy, like, who's in their space, like, get out of the way. And, like, only if you're noticing. And then even on this next panel, as they're all exiting, or, like, they're on in the sanctuary, we can see Rumble and Frenzy in the back, and Rumble's hitting Frenzy. And you're just, like, you children. They're Soundwave's children, and they're just goofing off. And, yeah, you want to, like, be, like, both of you, keep your hands to yourself. Swift, there it is. There's her name. Because Needle Nose says, come on, Swift. Those two will just keep going, so just come with me.
Right. And she's like, well, Optimus was an oppressor? And Needle Nose is like, well, yeah, I mean, that's why we had this war, dog.
Yeah. So he's kind of furthering what the cassettes started.
Right. Saying, you know, functionist ideas, there's alt modes that are inferior and so on. And Needle Nose is saying, like, my brother and I, who we know, is we were fine, but I wanted to fight anyway because I don't like injustice.
Which, like, I get it. Like, in that moment, like, as Needle Nose is saying that, you're like, yeah, no, I get that. Like, that's how it can feel when you know you're a privileged person, but it's like, I don't care. Like, I don't like seeing other people treated badly, which, I mean, that's, yeah. Like, you and I are both privileged people, and neither one of us wants to see other people treated badly, so I'm like, I get where you're coming from, Needle Nose. Because obviously he turns into an aircraft, and Trax turns into a sports car. Like, they were both fine, as far as functionist society was concerned.
They were doing great.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to stand by while other people were being oppressed.
And Needlenose lays out more of this, and he says, you know, Megatron sort of fought against Optimus, but the Optimus said, well, Prime has to stay in charge, and you can't do this and all that. And Needlenose says, I like this, he says, like Rumble said, this isn't a true Prime. He doesn't, I don't know, do miracles or whatever Primes do.
It's very cute. I like it when the Decepticons speak amongst themselves, because just the candid things that they say. Because, yeah, they're like, I don't know what the fuck a Prime does, but Optimus certainly isn't doing it. He doesn't work miracles and whatnot. But yeah, it is very interesting that all of them are quick to say Optimus is not a true Prime. So, which to me kind of says that there's, you know, they have religious beliefs, and to them it's just that Optimus is not the one.
Right. He's not the guy.
Yes. I mean, and that's purely because they keep saying in name only, like, which is interesting. And I would like more context on that as far as some of the Decepticons are concerned. But before we can get further, Soundwave is suddenly behind them, and both of them look very startled. So it's like, oh my god, Soundwave, wear a bell. Like, the thought that he just kind of, like, was suddenly there, and they were both like, holy shit, oh my god, where did you even come from?
He literally rolls up talking about, like, guys, I'm gonna kill Galvatron. He fucking sucks, I hate him, I'm gonna kick his ass.
That did the worst, because, right, Swift just said, but Galvatron, and Soundwave was like, Galvatron sucks. He's the worst. I was listening to your conversation. Which, of course he was. He's Soundwave. Soundwave, my heart breaks for you. Because he says, Galvatron does not serve equality. He manipulated me. And he was not the first. But in the name of the Decepticon dream, he's for sure going to be the last. And you're like, ooh. Dip. Also, that's a great panel. He's got a pretty sheen on his visor.
Very good close-up.
Mm-hmm. Looking great.
And I really like this little sequence. Yes. Starscream is saying, because, like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Starscream brings up some...
Right. He's here. Like, this is... All of you were mad at me for thinking that I would do this, and then he does it, and you're all like, well, we should hear him out.
Right. He's saying Optimus Prime just went to another world and staked a claim on it. He went to Earth and said, Earth is under my protection now. Which, yeah, he, like, everybody's terrified that Starscream's trying to start an empire, but he didn't go claim another world in his name and, like, say that it's under his protection. And yeah, he's just saying it's ridiculous that they're even entertaining the notion of having Optimus be a voice on this Council of Worlds. He's...
Right, and Windblade is saying, like, well... Let's just hear him out, and we're not going to, like, this is a council of existing colonies. We're not going to let the Earth in here. And Starscream is like, yeah, no, I know, because this is what you all thought I would do, and now he's doing it.
Wait, I feel for Starscream. I'm like, he has every right to be frustrated. And then, yeah, we see him after this meeting.
This is a very good sequence as well.
Very good, yeah.
He's just walking down the hall talking to himself, which of course means he's talking to Bumblebee.
Right, and at first we can just see him speaking and responding, and one of the guards is looking at him like, what the fuck is this guy doing? But then in the next panel we can see Bumblebee and hear what Bumblebee is saying to Starscream.
Right, he's saying that Optimus earned the benefit of the doubt, and... He's saying, well, how? What did he possibly do to make people give him the benefit of the doubt? And Mumblebee's like, well, he ended the war.
And I love it, because immediately then Starscream's like, well, good for him. He started it too. Which I was like, yeah. Ooh, shit, you are not wrong, honey. He at least was part of starting it. That's for damn sure.
There's a very cute exchange here.
Yes. It's right, because Starscream is saying, like, as far as Starscream's concerned, he... should be getting the benefit of the doubt by now. Like, the fact that nobody's trusting him, but everybody's willing to trust Prime. He's like, and Starscream sees himself as the one who is uniting lost colonies. Like, that's worth something, or it should be. And
it's very cute because Starscream says, look, I understand I can be disingenuous. And Bumblebee says, oh, your vocabulary is improving. He says, I bought a dictionary calendar. And he has such a smile there.
Right, and like the fact that it's an earnest, actual response, like, oh, thank you, B, I did buy a dictionary calendar, thank you. And then he continues, like, yeah, thanks for that. But yeah, he can be disingenuous, but he says that it doesn't mean that everything he does is wrong and that everything Optimus Prime does is right.
And the last guy who did that was Sentinel Prime, and that did not go well.
And then he says, yep, Sentinel was the first one against the wall when the peasants rose up, is what he said. And B tries to be like, you know, Optimus isn't like that, but even he's kind of stammering. He's kind of
right, like, Bumblebee is a ghost hallucination, and he's still losing this argument. Right. And Starscream is like, look, I was there when Megatron said all the right things. I know how it feels, Bumblebee. But Megatron stopped fighting for equality and started fighting to kill. So what makes you think this isn't going to end the same way?
Whew, which is a very, very interesting thing
It is called All Hail Optimus.
It is. And yeah, the last time we were all hailing someone...
Yeah, yikes. it didn't go well for any of us.
It was very exciting if you were me and were like, what, Decepticons won? This is great. All Hail Megatron is kind of a divisive series to some people. I really liked it, and then, yeah, some people really didn't. But whatever, that's neither here nor there right now. But then we cut to an unknown location on Earth. But we can see we are underwater in a Decepticon ship.
And BlackRock is being operated on by, what was this guy's name, Mindwipe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the rat bat looking dude.
Yes, very much, even like in color scheme. But we can see now here, BlackRock's being taken apart, and he's very much a full-on like robot with like human plating on top.
Also, he doesn't have a penis.
There you go. He is like a Ken doll.
Told you, everybody.
You called it.
And I do like his face coming off in the very Westworld kind of style. And the mind wipe is even saying like, yeah, you totally like everything about you appears human, but now you're definitely like robot. Look at you.
Yeah. He's saying that, right, like every non-invasive detection shows bones and organs, but clearly we can see he's full of robot parts.
And he's even like, how about we put me back together, huh? And he's like, I can, if you let me go back to my world, I can help you. And Galvatron comes in and he's like, guess what? You're a Cybertronian, just like I told you.
Right. Like, you should be proud. And he's, of course, going on his spiel about, like, ooh, our spark line runs pure, but pure bloods, da-da-da-da-da. Wizarding families. And Gibson is like, listen, I am not a machine. And he's fighting it very hard. And I gotta say, Garrison, you are clearly not realizing how blessed you are. Like, you get to be robot, dude.
If I could be a robot, I wouldn't hesitate.
I would be so excited if somebody was like, guess what, now I could take off your face. There's a robot skull under there. I'd be like, whoa, amazing. Like, I'm so excited.
I'm down.
Let's give me a robot face.
And Galvatron's like, guess what? You should definitely embrace this.
Right. Anytime Galvatron, like, there are certain people on the screen who you're like, okay, they're going to just be talking a lot. Galvatron, BlackRock, Spike, we got two of them right now in the room.
Yep. And Galvatron's saying, thank you for opening my eyes with the Onyx interface. Now I know everything that happens on the world. So, like...
And we can see, and behind him there's a screen that we can see Jones and Fairborn.
Right.
And we're like, uh-oh, that means they can tune in to whatever is happening over at the White House.
And then we're over at the White House. And again, those cool conehead bots are outside.
Yeah.
And the president is chewing them out.
Yes. I am excited that Viola Davis is the president.
I noticed that.
In IDW. I'm very excited. At least by now. So we have, we have Jones and Fairborn here, of course.
Right. And the president's saying, why didn't you kill Optimus Prime when you had the chance? Where have we heard that? We turn the camera around. There's Spike.
Son of a bitch. Damn.
And... He's been given full pardon for everything.
Right. Like, he full pardon, and he's saying, like, I beat him once, Marissa. The president knows I can do it again. And I'm like, first of all, he didn't beat anything. Let's get that fucking clear.
He shaved, but he has stubble. Fuck you.
Right. God, this dude's the worst. God, he's terrible. I do love Marissa's immediately, like, you belong in a cell, Witwicky. And, like, she's not wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and she's saying she's director of the EDC. Like, she, you know, she deserves some say here. And, yeah, the president, oh God, it's, my note here just says, oh, gross, are we really doing this? she's, you know, saying, like, that, oh, right, that's why this is so annoying, because she's like, Wiki was an embarrassment to all of you when he was running around, like, essentially being like, he was so great, like, he made the EDC right. look like a bunch of chumps, and I'm like, no, that's not how literally, like, any of us saw it. He's kind of just the worst.
You weren't there, Madam President.
Damn it, Madam President. Damn it, President Davis. And then we, yeah, I'm not sure... Zilong Xian, I think Xian is how to say the
that sounds about
the pilot's
right.
name from Planff.
and
he's
yeah.
here,
and he's fine. We don't care much about him,
right? Like, that dude's fine. He hasn't done anything to offend me.
Jimmy Pink got pardoned, which I'm like, all right, fine.
You like Jimmy? So we're gonna see Jimmy again. Okay, right. Jimmy's not nearly as bad as Spike. And of course, ooh, Spike's rank has been restored. Great. And
terrific.
Marissa's, of course, still fighting back. And she's saying, you know, she's been acting in the best interests of the entire planet. Wiki's just running around being an asshole. And here's where it gets, like, an interesting point can be brought up. Because the president then is saying, like, she kind of mocks Marissa here. Like, being like, do you think you're in a cop movie? Like, saying she's kind of acting like an overbearing sergeant in a cop movie.
Right.
But I would like to point out that, like, literally Spike's entire thing is, like, acting like he's in a bad action movie. Like, from the beginning, character. He's just been a terrible action movie star. But we're going to mock Marissa for, like, wanting to kind of put the clamps on him? Sure, why not?
And I do like that she says, we've been letting the EDC do all of this, and now we're letting the Chinese army do it. And the Planff guy is like, well, the Planff is actually a different thing. He's like, yeah, I don't care.
He's trying to put it like, we're not exactly. And she's like, whatever. We're all working together. But, you know, she's saying that, like, indiscretions now, it's kind of like. Like, as much as Marissa's saying Wiki is a loose cannon, it's like the president's kind of saying, perfect, that's what we're going for.
Yes.
Which is not a great idea.
The president is saying, like, look, whatever you had going on doesn't matter. We need to kill us some Cybertronians, and there's one guy I know who's done that, and it doesn't matter how much he sucks or smells like Axe body spray.
we got a full pardon him. We got to put him back in control. And, yeah, she's saying that as of yesterday, there are two things on Earth that count, human territory and alien territory. And our job is to salvage as much of our planet as we can.
And, of course, Galvatron is watching this.
Yes.
Galvatron says, we're going to beat the humans. And this flash cut to the Autobots in Thundercracker's hangar is saying, we're going to get them to do it for us in some capacity, is the suggestion there.
Right. Galvatron's kind of saying, like, what he's seeing, which is exactly what we all as readers know, what he's seeing at the White House playing out with Spike Witwicky and the president and Marissa, and, like, where loyalties are lying in the White House, and now where what Optimus has just done broadcasting from by using TC's Wi-Fi. He's like, listen, these guys are doing it for me. I don't really have to do anything at this point. Everything he's seen right now is, like, it's gonna do what he would like
Great.
To have done, which is really bad news.
Yeah, we don't want that, actually.
Yeah, both of those groups should want the opposite of what they are doing. So, yeah, way to go, everybody. Everybody making really good decisions here in ongoing 50. Great job.
Great
but
job.
That's it. That's the end of 50.
That's ongoing 50. And then there's a pretty good write-up by John Barber here. And then something that's very helpful to a lot of people, a Transformers reading guide.
Yes. So...
Which is very well done. Not as good as the one that I've seen before. I'm just saying, whatever.
You know, some fans have made some reading guides in the past. But yes, it is very helpful, especially now because, of course, our reading guide just went through the Humble Bundle.
Right. And I'll be sure to put a link to this in the show notes.
Perfect. Yeah. So, yeah, we have got... So, okay, we made it past 2 issues of 50.
We did it.
Yeah, it's onward. We, yeah, It's next week we should, I think we're going to do 51 and 52 of More Than Meets the Eye. I was trying to figure out how to break up, because the next five issues of More Than Meets the Eye go together. So I think we'll do 51 and 52, and then I think we'll do 53, 54, and 55 2 weeks after that.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we got a plan. We know where we're going.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So yeah, like, here is a quick question I have for everybody. I find myself asking this, or I did find myself asking it, and I still am, like, I don't know if we're supposed to like Spike Witwicky. Like, I really don't. Because, of course, I do not. Like, I've never cared for him in IDW. Right. He honestly was not that bad in All Hail Megatron. I didn't mind him, at first at least. But ever since then, which again, that ended in 2009. So I've hated this dude for like 7 years at this point. I've never seen an appeal. I don't know if we're supposed to like him. I earnestly do not know.
So from as a writer peering into another writer's brain is one of my many talents.
Yeah. Lay it down.
I would guess that we're supposed to recognize he's a piece of shit. We're supposed to see that as a grim moment.
I'm really hoping so. Because, of course, and the only reason, like, I always just question it a little bit is just because he's still alive. And, like, keeps getting, like, rewarded. It's kind of like, if anybody listening does watch Game of Thrones, when there's a certain house that, like, keeps not having to pay for anything that they do, they keep doing really shitty stuff and, like, keep getting rewarded for it. That's kind of how it feels with Spike Witwicky sometimes. So, it's a thought that I've had before.
The one that I ask myself that so much with is Prowl, like, because I don't, like, Prowl does get rewarded for shit all the time for doing just the most despicable, heinous shit that, like, grates against me like nails on a chalkboard.
Which is where I do think, because, Prowl's hard, and this is when, like, I also don't know. This goes along with me being like, I don't know if we're supposed to like Spike, because, like, I don't, like, I still love Prowl. Like, I still have a lasting love for him because I've loved him before this, and he's done some really cool things in IDW, even in this series, but then he's done some really shitty stuff that I'm just like, stop! Like, stop being like this! What are you doing? So, I do think, with both of those things in mind, it is going to be very funny, I think, whenever we do get around to some Gen 1 and we see Generation 1 Spike and Generation 1 Prowl and the fact that they are very different people. And
Transforminauts, what do you think? Are we supposed to like these guys or not?
Yeah, you guys give us the lowdown. Do you think one of the Transforminauts is like Mind Wipe and he's telepathic?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But my going theory is that all the Transforminauts have names that end in O-naught. So he'd like, be Telepathonaut.
I love it. There would be Chefanaut. He cooks. Yeah.
Podcastanaut. he puts out the podcast.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. I like that idea that our, like, crew is the Transforminauts. Like, they help us make the show.
Thanks, that's Transforminauts.
Thank you. They're making it work every week.